Livewire with Jeff Dorset.
Now, first of all, I'm standing to attention to welcome my guest, Roger Daltrey, CBE. How good is that, and how good does it sound?
I only ever use it for the charity.
Yeah, I know. And what a great charity that is. I mean, the Teenage Cancer Trust that you put that in, you've raised a lot of money and you've done a lot of work at the Albert Hall. And I must tell you, Roger, a real fun story. Have you seen at all the movie or the stage show, The Jersey Boys?
Oh, yes, of course I have. Yeah.
Well, you know that great line in there, which I really think's funny, is where Frankie says to the bookies that Tommy's into it. This is 1966. And he's into them for $1 million in 1966. And Frankie Valli makes that wonderful statement. He says, I'm going to pay this off, but I'll be working till I'm 80. Well, I'm going to go and see Frankie Valli at the Royal Albert Hall, 89.
I know, I've met Frankie a few times. He's a wonderful guy. And I'll tell you what, he's still got the pipes.
Hasn't he just? Fantastic.
His voice is extraordinary.
Absolutely fantastic.
Of all the shows I've seen, rock musical shows.
Yes.
Nothing comes close to Jersey Boys. It's a brilliant
show. It is
show.
So good. But well done yourself with everybody and the Teenage Cancer Trust. I mean, it's a wonderful charity and, you know, you've done sterling work there.
Well, we lead the world in that, you know. When we started that 30 years ago, no one kind of understood what we were trying to do. They didn't realise that, you know, well, they're in hospital, they're getting treated with cancer. They don't realise that a 13 to 20, you know, 20, 23-year-old, they're totally different mentally and socially than a 2-year-old or 5-year-old, even up to, you know, up to 13. And in our system, they were being all bunged together. It was terrible. So the teenagers were being isolated. Yeah. And, of course, what we've done is to show that when you put them together in their own specialised social spaces in hospital, they do much better on the medicine. So it's been an all-round winner. And we've led the world in this. We're now in America. I've formed Teen Cancer America. And the Americans have embraced it with open arms because they suddenly realised they've been in the forest and haven't noticed the trees.
Wow. Yeah, that's very true. Now, one thing I was going to ask you here, I mean, I have no idea why you wanted to be the most iconic voice in rock music and get a CBE. When your teacher said to you that you were top of the class in your 11 plus, so why didn't you go down that route instead?
All I ever wanted to be was a good singer. I just wanted to be a good singer, and I wanted my band to do well. I mean, I started we were already started this time 60 years ago, which is the same time the Stones started.
Yeah.
The actual roots of the Who started a year earlier in 61. So it's
like Detours and then High Numbers, yeah.
John and I got together, which were the root of the Who, and then Pete joined, and later on Keith joined, which was the nucleus of what became, you know, the chemistry that made the Who what they were. But I, you know, all I wanted to be, as everybody did in those days, who was in a band. We want people to like us. We wanted to make some dosh.
Yeah.
And be successful.
Yeah.
And of course, once the Beatles hit, we realised, well, if this could be possible, that would be a dream. And then the Stones hit, playing and blues music, which everybody else was playing. We suddenly realised, well, yeah, but what do we do? Because all that ground's been taken up by two fantastic groups. We've got to make our own ground. And we were lucky enough to have the writing of Pete Townshend.
Sure, yeah.
And we also were lucky enough to have the other three members of the band were technical enough to support his music and make it unique in the way it is. Like I say, we're not a rock and roll band. We're a rock band.
You are. But who were your early inspirations? You know, who did you look up to? You said about being a singer. So did you feel your inspirations were vocalists rather than bands or groups themselves?
Yeah, vocalists. Always vocalists.
So who would have been your sort of top two or three?
Elvis turned out, Elvis and Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis and all those people turned our heads to to rock music, rock and roll music as it was then. But then Voices, when it came to like the Everly Brothers,
wow, yeah,
Hatch, yeah. And then the one who really got his hooks into me, and I know the same goes for Robert Plant and a lot of the great British singers, was Lonnie Donegan. He had a way of singing that made us realise not only was it about singing, it was about a whole way of living it. And this noise that we made with our voices had to come from the inside. You can't just put it on as a veneer. You have to kind of live it and breathe it and crap it, you know. It really is, and Lonnie was the guy that did that for me, because he used to sing those old Lead Belly songs, those old Chain Gangs cotton picking songs.
Yeah, Rock Island Line and...
But then he'd sing them fairly straight, but then he'd throw his head back and start wailing and take it to a whole new level, and you suddenly got this feeling in your gut that, well, you know, voices can do a whole lot more than just sing words.
Yeah, and you talk about Pete's writing. One thing I've always noticed as well, I don't know if he does it deliberately, but that first 20 or 30 seconds, the Who songs, Roger, always have great openings. I mean, if you listen to You Better You Bet, Won't Get Fooled Again, and so many of these great songs, Squeeze Box and Joined Together, I mean, there's something in the, I mean, they're great songs anyway, but the first 30 seconds is not only different from anything else around, but they catch your attention.
Yeah, he's a fantastic. He's one of the most important composers of the 20th century. There's no doubt about it.
Sure, agreed.
Leonard McCartney, and there's all the others, but you know, Townsend's style is completely different than any of them.
Yeah,
and the perspective he writes about his life, you know, his songs, all come from him, but he goes so deep into the psyche. It's not everybody's cup of tea. It's very much an acquired taste, but there's so much honesty. There's so much, I don't know, they've got a way of touching people.
Yeah.
That no other band has.
Yeah. Now, do you think yourself, you've played all these wonderful gigs, do you truly believe that loudest gig was the one at the Charlton Football Stadium?
I couldn't hear it.
Because it rained all day. What a shocking weather that was that day.
We were too loud. We made all the mistakes, and I see young bands today still making.
Absolutely. Turn the bass up, yeah.
Yeah, the bass is always too loud. Because sadly, the trouble with the reason why bass players are too loud is one, that drummers can't ever control the volume of their drums. So if you've got a loud drummer, everything has to kind of balance to the drums.
Yeah.
But bass players are unfortunate that they can never stand far enough from their bass cabinet to actually hear how loud they're playing. Because a bass wave is 18 feet long. So you have to be 18 feet away from your amplifier.
Yes.
Before you actually hear the real sound of how loud you are.
Yes.
Which is the reason why most of them are always too loud.
Yes. Yeah, when we were talking about Pete, I got a great story that came to me, and I don't know if you ever remember this. There's a guy in Las Vegas who's a handmade guitar maker called Bernie Hamburger. Now, this guy told me a story a few years ago where apparently Pete or somebody had asked Bernie to fix one of his broken guitars. And Bernie said, I went along, I forget which venue it was, but he went along there. Pete went in the sound booth and said to this Bernie Hamburger, there's our set list, do you know them? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, well, I'll tell you what, you go on the stage next to Roger, I'm going to go in the sound booth. And Bernie says, for 10 minutes, I was in the Who.
I've never, I think Bernie Hamburger's stringing you up.
Is he? I tell you what, though, it sounds a good story. Yeah. Now, of course, you mentioned about the affinity with Portsmouth. And, of course, Pinball Wizard, when you see it in the movie, was filmed at the King's Theatre in Southsea in Portsmouth. And, of course, that's another association you have, because there was a bit of it, not all of it, but there's a bit of it, wasn't it, Tommy, was filmed in Portsmouth.
It was all filmed in around the Portsmouth area.
Yeah.
We stayed in Hailing Island. The film crew were based in Hailing Island.
Yes.
And all those scenes are in and around Portsmouth and Southsea.
Yeah.
And we did the Pinball Wizard, certainly was at the King's Theatre. And later on, as we used as extras all the students from Portsmouth University, to repay them for their kindness of putting up with filming all day and all those things that they did for us. They had a lot of fun doing it, by the way.
Yeah.
We put on a free show for them at the King's Theatre, and I never remember that. I'll never forget that, because Anne Margaret was in the wings, and she'd never seen The Who before.
Wow. Was that any... That must have been an experience. Now, when you play the... Let's talk about the tour, which is coming up, because it starts in Bournemouth at the BIC on the 20th, and then you're playing Brighton and Oxford, and then you come to Portsmouth on the 27th, and then finish up at doing Nottingham, Southend and Birmingham. So I noticed there on the work that Chris sent me, Chris Goodman, that you've got the idea of the show is to take people on a journey. Hopefully you're going to play tracks off like As Long As I Have You, which is a great album. But it's up close and personal, so you're going to be playing a few Who classics, the solo work as well, and doing a Q&A, which is really good, Roger.
Well, I'm going to try and do that. We're going to have a box at the door where people can put questions in, and we'll choose a few out, because it's not going to be possible to pass the microphone around an audience.
Oh, no.
All kinds of karaoke and expletives and all God knows what, I'm sure.
Sure.
But we're going to try that. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm going out there with no expectations of what this show is. All I know is the band will be good.
Yes.
I'm employing an awful lot of musicians, which is what the whole tour was all about initially.
Sure.
It's a postponed tour from last year.
Yeah, sure.
And it was all about just giving people work.
Yes.
Well, I've got 9 musicians.
Wow.
I think it's 9, or maybe yeah. even 10, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I want the music to change, continually change. Quite a lot of the stuff we play is quite Cajun.
Yes.
But there are songs that you recognise, but we do them in a different way. And all I want to do is give people a bloody good night out.
Yeah, well, that's what they're...
Bands you go and I've discovered, especially since doing the Albert Hall, so many bands that I really, really love, and I hear a few songs, I think, oh, they're great.
Yeah.
You watch their shows, and you get sort of, you know, 40 minutes in, and you start to think, oh, I've never heard this one before.
Sure.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
And, of course, I want that to... In this band, I want the band to... This band will change...
Yes.
Probably every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Every drummer in some songs, and every drummer's in a drummer in another. I've got Steve Weston, who played the harmonica on the Wilco Johnson album.
Yes.
He's joining me, and he'll probably, whatever he can add to the other ones, in rehearsal, we'll say, yeah, that's great, keep that.
Yes.
But I'm happy to have him along just to do the Wilco Johnson songs from that album.
Yes. Oh.
The harmonica playing on that is some of the best harmonica I've heard since Sonny Boy Williams.
Yeah. Isn't it good to have that back with a harmonica? You know, it's absolutely terrific. But it's interesting you mentioned, Roger, about having 9 people in the band. Makes me chuckle just a little bit, because I saw the Rolling Stones at a very small cinema in 1963. And they had, obviously, 3 guitars, a drum and Mick. So I saw them again on the No Filter tour in Southampton in 2018. So what did they have? 4 guitars, 2 keyboards, 5 backing singers, a brass band, virtually, with the brass section that he's got there, and the rest of them there, and the big screens up in front. So haven't things changed?
Yeah, but a lot of our stuff will be just, you know, bass guitar, drums.
Yeah.
And not, well, won't even be drums on some of them. There'll be, I've got Josie Linscott on percussion, which is just a boombox, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be much different than that, than just a big band blasting away.
And, of course, the Wall of Fame induction, which is coming up as well.
It's a wonderful place, that.
It is, you know, it's a super thing. Our radio show has been doing this for a while now, and we've inducted everybody. The basic idea is people who either were born in the area or played in the area on a regular basis and got some kind of connection. And, you know, over time, Mick Jones out of Foreigner, Spike Edney from Queen, Steve Hackett from Genesis, Simon Dupree and the Big Sound and Gentle Giant, Jimmy James and the Vagabonds, and Mark King of Level 42. So a lot of things there. And it's in the Guildhall, and there's a special room devoted there to what they call the Wall of Fame. So they're going to put a plaque for you on the wall, and myself and my producer are going to induct you on the day.
All right. I'll better do in the air then.
You'll be fine.
I've got great memories of the Guildhall. I mean, we used to play there in the early 60s. I mean, God, who didn't play there? Everybody's played the Guildhall.
Yes, absolutely terrific.
Yeah, that sounds good. Anything to help our music industry, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we'll be on the 27th.
I'll accommodate everyone, you know. I'm doing everything I can to kind of look after the people that really had a hard time during this lockdown, you know.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Music industry, it really has.
Mr. Daltrey, you're my guest, so I've got two choices lined up here. I could have picked a million of them because you're my favourite band, but I would actually give you the following as a choice. Would you like the Shel Tamy-produced Anyway, Anywhere, Anyhow, which you co-wrote with Pete, where Shel Tamy told me the great story that the record company apparently thought there was a fault on it because of the feedback, but that was the intention? Or you can have Give It All Away, the Leo Sayer song. So what would you prefer, sir?
What a choice.
I mean, I'll play both of them. I'll play both of them.
You've got to play both. I mean, that's the range of my singing. I mean, Giving It All Away, obviously, there's something about that song when I play it live, and I did it recently at the Albert Hall, It has an effect on an audience which is extraordinary. You can hear a pin drop when that song starts, and
yes.
I don't know what it is. It's in the melody or the lyric, or there's something about that song that stops an audience dead.
Yes.
And they listen.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anyhow, Anywhere, it is actually true. They did question, is this all right? There's all these noises at the end. They didn't know. Didn't know what they had on their hands when they signed The Who. I'm proud of that song. And when you listen to that outro on it with the feedback, it was so far ahead of its time.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Jazz. There's Nicky Hopkins on the piano there. It was so far ahead of its time. It stands up today as something new. And here it is, like, being 50-odd years old.
I know, but what a great song, as so many of them are. Well, Roger, look, it's a great pleasure talking to you, and we will see you on the 27th down in beautiful downtown Portsmouth for the induction in the afternoon. We'll be going to the gig in the evening as well. And, you know, it's a great pleasure. Enjoy the tour, and thanks very much for the call. Much appreciated. Stay on the line, and we're going to play both of these back-to-back. Let's go with Giving It All Away first, and then we'll play Anyway, Anywhere, Anyhow. And
you got it wrong there, look, Jeff. You got to get it right.
Anyway.
Anyhow, Anywhere.
Anyway, Anyhow, Anywhere. Corrected by Roger Daltrey. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, mate.
So I picked up my shoes, I got up and walked away. Oh, I was just a boy, I didn't know how to play. Worked hard and failed, now all I can say is I threw it all away. Oh, I was just a boy, giving it all. Sail away, sail away. much for my nerves, only myself to blame. Oh, I was just a boy, nobody else to blame. I've done all I can, now it's out of my hands. Stand on my head and say, oh, I was just a boy, giving it all away. Sail away, sail away. Just a boy, giving it all away. Just a boy.
LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.